Good afternoon to you. My name is David Osborne. I am grandson of John Crawford, affectionately known as Papa by marriage. So I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for being here with us this afternoon. As we gather, we need to all remember that it is okay to be sad. It is okay to grieve. But as we gather here by God's grace, perhaps we will find that our grief is mixed with joy. Ultimately, everything is going to be more wonderful for once having been so sad. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's pray together. If you'll notice in your bulletin, we're going to conclude this prayer with the Lord's Prayer. So be ready and waiting for that. Let's pray. O Lord our God, as we gather here, we thank you that we can be men and women of sorrow. We thank you that by your grace, we can hope that a big, burning ray of hope would break in. We thank you for the world to come, and we long for that day, Jesus. And until then, we gather here together in these times as your people, your family, your sons and your daughters. We thank you that there can be strength within our sorrow, and there can be beauty in our tears. So help us to honor you during this time. Even as we pray, as you have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would, let's respond and stand and sing together. Hymn 32, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In times like this, don't know what else to do except to turn to God and to hear from Him. So I'd like to read some scriptures for all of us that I hope will help us understand. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The reason Jesus appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The path of the just is like the shining sun that burns ever brighter until that perfect day." Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. For now we live with inconsolable things. Pain and death are inconsolable. But as God says in His Word, pain and death will be eradicated when heaven comes down. That is our hope. If you would, please remain seated and let's sing together hymn 709.
Let's pray together.
Oh Lord our God, we thank you that we belong to you. We thank you, Jesus, for the work that you have done. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are at work in our lives to help us to know more and more, to make us to know more and more, to long for more and more. The culmination of redemption and salvation. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you hear us when we pray, that you know the groanings of our heart, you know the depth of our sorrow and grief. Thank you, Jesus, that you know what it's like to be frustrated at death. Help us to rejoice that we belong to you. May we know that we are under your watchful care. All this for your glory, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn 84 about this watchful care of our God. Amen. Be seated. If you have a copy of the scriptures, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 17. I want to read one verse from this chapter. So I was thinking about Papa's life. As I talk with him a little bit about this moment, he didn't want me to say much, if anything, about him. He wanted me to talk about his Savior. So I want to read this verse and then talk about it briefly. Listen to this. This is God's word. Jesus said what I'm about to read to you. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before we think about this particular verse, it's important to get a handle on the context of what's going on. Just a short time before Jesus spoke all of these words in John chapter 17, he had entered Jerusalem. That was the point for Jesus of no return. He had come into Jerusalem to die. He had entered Jerusalem to give of his life. He had entered Jerusalem because he was sent by the Father, and he was going to do everything that his Father wanted him to do. He was going to eradicate and absorb the wrath of God and purchase and accomplish salvation for his people. Jesus was going to show us on the cross how justice and mercy meet. In John 13 through 17, things slow down. Jesus enters the Jerusalem triumphantly in chapter 12. And in 13 through 17, everything slows way down. These chapters cover about one 24-hour period. What's going on in these chapters is, to put it in modern language, we're getting to observe Jesus' bucket list. In chapters 13 through 17, we get to see for ourselves what Jesus wanted and what he was thinking about and what he thought was most important before he went to the cross. The first thing on Jesus' bucket list, apparently, was washing feet. Isn't that astounding? We believe in the God who washes feet. John 17 is where Jesus prays for his people. He's concerned about us. We believe in the God who not only washes feet, we believe in the God who prays for us. Isn't that amazing? No matter your level of grief or frustration, you have a God that prays for you and cares for you. To try to wrap our mind around what's happening here, we look at Jesus' prayer in John 17, and we think about the God of the universe doing this. Out of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for, one thing that he mentions apparently that is significant for him in verse 24 in his prayer, out of everything that he could have prayed for, he prays for us to be with him. Yes, Jesus wants us to see his glory, the glory that he had, the glory that the Father loved him in that way before the foundation of the world, the glory that he had with his Father. That's all true. But he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be with him. It seems as though something is not right or something is not complete if Jesus doesn't have us with him. Worship gives us a glimpse of this, and communion gives us a taste of it. But Jesus longs for us to be with him. And this is real love. To want someone to be with you is real love. Jesus knew all of our shortcomings. He knew all of Papa's shortcomings. And he wanted Papa to be with him. When I think about Papa, I think about this kind of love. Papa wanted me to be with him. If I ever came to town, he always wanted me to go see him. He wanted you to be with him too. He always wanted Grandmommy to be with him. And I know that he wanted to be with his Lord. He wanted to be with Jesus too. What's also interesting to think about this request that Jesus made is also this. It's not just showing us real love. There's a certain jealousy here. Not the negative kind of envy, or not the negative kind of someone being afraid of rivals, or not negative in any way. Jesus is expressing a love here that is jealous. And the more that I think about Papa, the more I think that this describes him too. He didn't just want people to be with him and he to be with people, but Papa had this jealous kind of love. Yes, there were times where he crossed the line. But Papa's love has been part of our growth as a family. It's been part of our transformation and maturing as people. Because after all, this kind of love always transforms, doesn't it? This kind of love always gives life. This kind of jealous love always pursues hope. This verse also helps me when I think about the loss and the sorrow. Papa went home. Not so much because his heart gave out, but because our Heavenly Father decided to answer the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. When Jesus called Papa home, Jesus gained more than what we have lost. You see, there really is only one comfort in life and in death. And that's the comfort that Papa knew and the comfort that he would want us to know as well. It's the comfort in knowing that we are not our own. But we belong both body and soul, both in life and in death, to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has fully paid for all of our sins with his precious blood and has set us free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not even a hair can fall from my head without the will of our Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, all things are going to work together for our salvation. And because I belong to Jesus, His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me and makes us wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can gather as your people and be reminded that the day is coming in which you will wipe away every tear from every eye and death will be no more. And we will say when we gather together, perhaps like never before, we have waited for this day and we are thankful for your salvation. O Lord, in the midst of our grief, we know that your plans are still to prosper us. You have not forgotten us. We thank you that you are faithful forever, that you are perfect in love. And we're growing in our thanks that you are sovereign over us. Help us, Lord. All for your glory. Amen. If you would, let's stand together and sing hymn 691. Before you receive the benediction, know that there will be a receiving line if you would like to express anything to the family. If you would, please come on this side of the sanctuary and come down and speak to Ms. Crawford first, that would be wonderful. So I think the ushers will help move you that way. But know that God doesn't want you to leave here without knowing that His blessing is upon you. So receive this. And by His grace, try to live as if you actually believe. Because what I'm about to tell you has been blood-bought. The Lord your God is your Son, and He is your shield. He is going to give you grace. And one day, He will crown you with glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk with Him. It's true now and forever, all because of Jesus. Amen.